live from ABC News in New York. This is Good Morning America.
Good morning, America. We have a lot to cover, and sadly, we begin with yet another mass shooting in this country, which authorities say may have been fueled by hate. A gunman opening fire at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, killing 10 people.
Police say the 18-year-old suspect live-streamed the carnage on a helmet camera for at least 2 minutes as he mowed down shoppers and employees, all while wearing body armor.
President Biden denouncing any acts of domestic terrorism and saying hearts all across this country are with the people of Buffalo this morning. We have team coverage beginning with Stephanie Ramos in Buffalo. Stephanie, good morning to you.
Hi there, Whit. You can see there is yellow tape behind me surrounding that parking lot, surrounding the grocery store, where authorities say the gunman arrived here heavily armed and wearing tactical gear, taking the lives of 10 people who were just going about their day at the supermarket. Police say the gunman was motivated by hate.
This morning, a community in shock in Buffalo, New York.
When I first saw him shooting, he shot a woman, he shot a deacon, he shot another woman, and then he went in the store and started shooting again.
10 people shot dead and 3 more injured after a gunman opened fire at a Tops Friendly supermarket in a predominantly black neighborhood.
This is the worst nightmare that any community can face.
One's gun secure, one suspect is in custody.
The suspect, identified as 18-year-old Peyton Gendron, has been arraigned on one count of first-degree murder and held without bail. Authorities say he drove there from 200 miles away and live-streamed the attack that is now being investigated as a hate crime.
Pure evil. It was straight-up racially motivated hate crime from somebody outside of our community.
Police say around 2:30 Saturday afternoon, the suspect wearing body armor and a tactical helmet first fired at 4 people in the parking lot, killing 3.
We're going to need some officers inside the top because we have numerous bodies.
The shooter then entered the grocery store, shooting 9 others, including a retired Buffalo police officer who confronted him. The guard fired multiple shots that hit the suspect, but that didn't stop him. He was wearing protective tactical gear, the heavily armed gunman fatally shooting the guard moments later.
I still don't even believe it happened, actually, that a person would go into a supermarket full of people.
Police arriving at the chaotic scene, taking the alleged shooter into custody.
There were people showing up, asking about their loved ones.
Among the victims, 4 of them store employees.
My granddaughter works here. She heard the shooting, so she took herself and ran in the bathroom and locked the door.
I frequent this store all the time. I've never been afraid to be here. I am now. This is something that I watch on the news that happens in other places.
A witness describes the motionless bodies on the ground.
I saw the police cover her, and then they cover somebody that was behind her. And I realized at the time that those were dead bodies.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul at a press conference Saturday evening calling attention to reports the suspect had a camera and was live streaming the shooting, condemning social media platforms that she said were not censoring hateful and violent content.
There's a feeding frenzy on social media platforms where hate festers more hate.
The NAACP making a statement saying hate and racism have no place in America.
This investigation, of course, is still ongoing, and Gendron could still face more charges. If convicted, he could face life in prison without parole. Eva.
Stephanie Ramos for us there in Buffalo. Now to more details emerging overnight about that 18-year-old suspect. ABC's Aaron Katursky continues our coverage. Aaron, good morning to you.
Eva, good morning. We know that Peyton Gendron was not from Buffalo, but he arrived heavily armed, intent on killing black people.
Yes, sir. I understand my charges.
New York State Police and the FBI spent the night searching Gendron's family home in Conklin, a 3.5-hour drive from the Buffalo supermarket where police said Gendron carried out a racially motivated hate crime.
We are investigating this incident as both a hate crime and a case of racially motivated violent extremism.
Of the 13 people shot, 11 are black, and law enforcement sources told ABC News Gendron appears to have possessed extremist beliefs cultivated online.
There are certain pieces of evidence that we have ascertained in the course of this investigation that indicate some racial animosity.
Investigators say they're pouring through a 180-page document believed to be authored by the suspect that details a fixation with white supremacy, the weapons he could use to kill black people, and his intent to livestream the attack. There's also a lengthy rant about replacement theory, a racist idea that white people are being replaced by people of color.
We will not stop until every lead is investigated, every piece of evidence is analyzed, and until we understand how and why this horrible tragedy and crime occurred.
Now, according to authorities, it was last June when a high school near his home reported to police that Gendron had threatened a shooting at graduation. No charges were ever filed. In this case, at least for now, Gendron is charged with a single count of murder, but it's likely he's going to face federal hate crimes and terrorism charges. Janae.
Aaron, thank you so much for that update. We know you'll be following this story. This mass shooting, of course, coming just a day after President Biden touted a $10 billion commitment to police and public safety. ABC's Alex Brochet joins us now with more on White House reaction to this latest mass shooting. Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, Janae. Even before this latest shooting in Buffalo, Attorney General Merrick Garland and DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas had listed racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists as the greatest domestic threat. Now, the Gun Violence Archive lists this latest shooting in Buffalo as the 198th mass shooting this year. Nearly 7,000 people have died from gun violence in 2022, nearly 13,000 injured. The White House responding overnight to the shooting in Buffalo in a statement saying President Biden has been briefed and that he and the First Lady are praying for those who have been lost and for their loved ones. On Friday, the president, flanked by mayors and police chiefs from around the country, outlined a $10 billion commitment to police and public safety to stop violent crime. It includes $1 billion in bonuses to help recruit and retain emergency first responders and $450 million for things like new police cars, radio systems, body cameras, and gunshot detection systems. The money, part of the American Rescue Plan. Last year, there were a total of 693 mass shootings in the U.S., and the Biden administration now is urging local governments to use this money to help put a dent in crime ahead of the typical summer surge. Wait.
All right, Alex, thank you. Joining us now is the mayor of Buffalo, Byron Brown. Mayor Brown, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us during this painful and difficult time. So you said you and your family actually shopped at this store. How did you first learn about the shooting, and what went through your mind as the severity and horrific details started to become clear?
The store is in my neighborhood. I was at my great nephew, 4 years old, his first T-ball game, and got a call from the police commissioner that there was a mass shooting in the city of Buffalo at the Top supermarket on Jefferson Avenue. Immediately had to leave the T-ball game and rushed over here to be with police and families.
What more can you tell us about this security guard and retired police officer who was killed?
Aaron Salter, retired police lieutenant, very well-respected member of the former member of the Buffalo Police Department, very well-known in the community, had been a security guard at the Tops for a number of years in retirement, from a very well-known family in the community. He is a hero. He stood up to this attack, and Lieutenant Salter was killed trying to protect and save others.
That truly is a hero. A lot of people talking about him and his efforts this morning. I do want to transition to what authorities are saying about the gunman, that he posted extremist and racist views online. It's been called an act of domestic terrorism by many. What impact does an attack like this have on your community?
This attack certainly has a significant impact on this community. People are in pain. 10 innocent people were killed. 13 people were shot. People shopping on a Saturday afternoon, working, trying to earn a living, and 10 lives taken away for no good reason. But the impact that it has should not just be on the Buffalo community. It should be a nationwide impact. And it should really say to us that there should be sensible gun control in this country. And an incident like this can happen anywhere in this country, urban, suburban, rural. It does not matter.
Knowing that your community was specifically targeted, how do you provide comfort at a time like this? How do you help people feel safe right now?
Well, Buffalo is a loving community. We are known as the city of good neighbors nationally and internationally. This is a strong community. People are already rallying together, wrapping their arms around the families of the victims. And we are sending a very strong message that this kind of hate cannot be tolerated. It is not who we are as a city. It is not who we are as a nation, and we need to do more collectively as a nation to send a message that this kind of hate will not be tolerated anywhere.
Mayor Brown, thank you for your time this morning, and our thoughts to you and the entire city of Buffalo and all of those who are suffering through this tragedy. Thank you.
Thank you, Whit.
Eva, over to you.
And we'll have much more ahead on the mass shooting in Buffalo. But we do have other major stories we are following this morning, including the nationwide baby formula shortage, now the subject of a congressional investigation. Many families in desperate need of formula as more store shelves run empty. ABC's Elwin Lopez joins us from Atlanta with the latest. Elwin, good morning.
Hey, Eva, good morning. Baby formula is now about 40% out of stock, sending millions of parents into a panic. Many now asking family and friends to scour the shelves in other states, and others relying on online groups and donated breast milk.
This morning, members of Congress are investigating why millions of Americans can't find crucial baby formula for their children.
That's awful. You can't, you know, something that actually is is hitting really close to home. I've got a four-month-old and experiencing this firsthand.
Lawmakers demanding answers from four different companies that produce baby formula after hearing stories like this one.
This is my fourth store today.
This first-time mom drove more than 50 miles in one day across Alabama searching to no avail.
Every time I make her a bottle, it's like, you know, I'm getting close to the bottom of this can. How many cans do I have left? How long do I have before we really run out?
And in Oklahoma, Ajane Jones says she's been relying on support groups and sample cans to feed her child.
It's just been so hard to feed my son, and it's been so frustrating. It needs to come to an end. Like, we are suffering. Us moms, our babies are suffering.
Since the beginning of May, eight states and D.C. are at least 50% out of stock of formula. Health experts now urging desperate parents to avoid tackling the issue by diluting what's available or making their own. In the U.S., about 70% of babies are fed formula. And according to the CDC, less than 60% of infants were breastfeeding at 6 months old.
I can't breastfeed at all. So if I don't have formula, my baby's not going to eat.
The situation's so dire that some mothers like this one in California are turning to strangers on social media.
Having formula shipped from Oklahoma, from Kentucky, from Sacramento.
The maker of store brand formulas for places like Walmart and Amazon warning heightened demand and shortages may last throughout the rest of the year. Milk banks now stepping in.
As moms, what do we want to do? We want to help. We want to help other families. So thankfully, our donors are turning out in record numbers right now as well.
And Janae, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says this week the House intends to take legislative action to address these shortages.
Ellen, thank you so much. And in the meantime, a national call to action yesterday with thousands of concerned citizens pouring into the streets protesting for abortion rights in cities across the country. In Washington, abortion rights advocates marching from the National Mall to the steps of the Supreme Court. The protests, a direct response to that leaked draft opinion signaling that the high court is positioned to overturn Roe v. Wade. Anti-abortion activists also present there making their voices heard as well.
Janae, now to the war in Ukraine. The Russian forces stepping up their attacks, even in the face of heavy losses. ABC's Tom Sufi-Burridge is live in Kyiv with the latest. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Whit. Russia stepping up its bombardment of Ukraine overnight with a missile strike in the westerly region of Lviv. This morning, Finland officially saying it is now applying to join NATO. Putin warning that's a mistake.
This morning, Russia pounding the Avastal steel plant in the port city of Mariupol. In new video from Ukrainian officials, ABC News has not been able to verify the date or contents of the video, showing an intense bombardment from the air. This as Putin warns Finland that joining NATO would be a mistake, and Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov saying the consequences will be felt by everyone.
We'll have an additional 800-mile NATO-Russia border. And that's got to give Putin concern.
But Russia on its back foot in Ukraine, retreating in the northeast near Ukraine's second biggest city, Kharkiv. The UK Ministry of Defence estimating Russia has now lost a third of the troops it committed when it invaded Ukraine. And Ukraine celebrating a big win off the battlefield.
Let the Eurovision Song Contest 2022 begin!
At this year's Eurovision Song Contest, the Ukrainian entry receiving the highest ever popular vote, 200 million people watching worldwide. The lead singer making this appeal.
I ask all of you, please help Ukraine, Mariupol. Help Azovstal right now!
President Zelensky celebrating, saying Ukraine's courage impresses the world, hoping the competition could be held in Mariupol one day.
This victory is for every Ukrainian. Slava Ukraini!
We have to remember about those people who's like dying right now. But my emotions, like, I can't even describe how proud I am of the victory.
Yeah, Russia banned from this year's competition. But let me tell you guys, our Ukrainian colleagues were jumping for joy in the office late last night. This victory at the Eurovision Song Contest means so much for a nation which is suffering because of Putin's war. Eva?
And all those people voting for that group and the world cheering for them as well. Thank you so much.
Well, a young Texas student made headlines 3 years ago when she was accepted into nine law schools at the tender age of 16. And now her graduation has made history. Now 19, Haley Taylor Schlitz is now the country's youngest black student ever to graduate from law school and the youngest to graduate from Southern Methodist University's Dedman School of Law. Haley visited our studio in 2019 to let Robin, George and Michael know which school she was picking. Congratulations. Huge congratulations to her.
Yeah, now she has to get ready to study for the bar.
Yeah.
Back to the bar.
Womp womp, right? Good luck. Well, coming up, a dramatic crash on a Florida bridge, a small plane coming down on top of traffic, the investigation this morning.
And market peak, the signs that the housing market may be cooling, what it could mean if you're shopping for a new home.
And summer travel picture, what's in store as Americans hope for a COVID-free summer vacation season. Stay with us.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ukraine!
And welcome back to GMA on this Sunday morning. We can't get enough of Ukraine's performance here. The Kalush Orchestra, they are the winners of this year's Eurovision Song Contest. Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, congratulating the group on Facebook, saying, quote, our courage impresses the world. Our music conquers Europe.
Congratulations to them. Let's take a look at some of the other big stories we are following this morning. Happening right now, Israeli police say they will investigate the conduct of officers who attacked mourners at the funeral of a Palestinian-American journalist who was killed in the West Bank last week. Shocking video shows police beating mourners and pallbearers carrying the casket of Shireen Abu Akleh. Witnesses claim she was killed by Israeli troops.
Also right now, the FAA and NTSB are investigating what caused a small plane to come crashing down on a Miami bridge. That plane losing engine power, slamming into a car, and then both bursting into flames. At least one person has died. Five others, including two toddlers, were injured.
And 25 years ago today, ABC's Peter Jennings introduced the world to ABCNews.com, the digital world just in its infancy back then. But through the years, ABCNews.com has evolved and is now one of the top performing news sites in the world. And of course, now we have streaming ABC News Live. There's social media, there's the app and the push alerts and all that. A lot's changed during
Technology
that.
Has grown.
A lot of ways to stay connected to ABC News.
Yes. We begin this half hour with another look at our top story, the massacre at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York. A gunman storming in and killing 10 people reportedly bent on hate. Let's go back to ABC's Stephanie Ramos in Buffalo. Good morning again, Stephanie.
Hey there, Eva. As you can see, police are still surrounding this parking lot and the grocery store where authorities say that gunman arrived here and opened fire on shoppers. Authorities say he was heavily armed, wearing tactical gear and military-type clothing. Shoppers in and around the supermarket detailed being forced to hide behind their cars, calling out for help as the gunman killed 10 people and wounded three others in this mass shooting authorities believe was racially motivated. The suspect identified as 18-year-old Peyton Gendron. He has been arraigned on one count of first-degree murder and held without bail. Police say before the shooting, Gendron posted online a 180-page document where he writes about racist and anti-Semitic ideas. Authorities are now investigating the attack as a hate crime, and of course, the investigation is still ongoing as this community reels from this latest shooting today.
Stephanie, thank you. And we are getting a better idea of the suspect this morning. ABC's Aaron Katursky is here with more on what we're learning. Aaron, good morning again to you.
And good morning to you, Janae. This is just the kind of attack that law enforcement officials have long feared. Someone radicalized online with access to guns who takes inspiration from recent attacks. And authorities have been going through that 180-page document believed to have been written by Peyton Gendron. In it, there's this praise for prior acts of violence motivated by hate, a shooting at a predominantly black church in South Carolina, at a mosque in New Zealand, at a Walmart in El Paso that targeted Latinos. And more recently, law enforcement officials have been concerned there is more white supremacist rhetoric out there online, and it's becoming more violent, although it still does not explain how an 18-year-old, not a year out of high school, came to harbor so much hate. Guys, if convicted, Gendron faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. He's charged with murder, but federal charges, hate crimes, and terrorism are certainly possible. Yeah.
And as you noted, enforcement, they've been sending out these alerts. They've been warning us about acts just like this for some time. Still a lot of questions. Aaron, thank you.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month. It's a topic that remains taboo for many, particularly in the black community. I sat down with three women trailblazing the field of mental health to discuss how racial and social issues intersect with mental health. And we discussed the myth of the strong black woman trope and shared how we can develop healthy practices to maintain a stable mental well-being in our ever-changing society.
What has it been like for you and your practice in the last 2 years?
One of the things that I found in the last 2 years is that everyone, for a few minutes, bit of time, was in denial. The pandemic hasn't affected me. It hasn't changed my life. But as we got deeper and deeper into the pandemic, everything that was bothersome, everything that was a problem for them, whether it be work or family, relationships, all began to feel the effects of the pandemic, your health, and chip away at what they thought were strong foundations. Behind this pandemic, we have found that there are things that we thought were really strong foundations, things that I absolutely know for sure. I'm married. My spouse loves me. My children are doing well. I'm healthy. I have a home. I have a job. All of those things were up for being impacted by the pandemic. And so people who are coming to me now are trying to get back to who they were. And the one question that was common amongst most of all of my new clients were, tell me when I'm going to feel like myself again.
Probably many of you have asked that question. During this conversation, these women brought up things like the power of our imagination and shifting the narrative of the grind culture, overworking to find a place of self-care and rest and embracing and being satisfied with who we are right now. You can catch more of a GMA Digital conversation, Breaking the Mental Health Stigma for Black Women, on GMA Digital, Nightline, ABC News Live, and Hulu starting this week. And guys, we have all talked a lot about mental health. This was a really powerful and humbling way to bring it to the forefront.
And what you said about denial, you know, resonates across the board in our instinct to just try to tough it out and grind through. But there are resources available. It's a great conversation. Yes.
Well, coming up on Good Morning America, signs that the red-hot housing market may be cooling off, what it means for buyers.
And then still ahead here, stepping into a Broadway role with only an hour rehearsal. That's ahead in Top Pop News. We're back now on GMA with what some prospective home buyers need to know. After frenzied bidding wars, it seems some housing markets are now experiencing a cool down. ABC's Deirdre Bolton has more.
Average home prices are moving lower. From Bozeman, Montana, to Fort Wayne, Indiana, to Key West, Florida.
Crazy double-digit increases that we've seen over the last 2 years are going to slow down to something a little bit more normal.
While it is far from being a nationwide trend, there are pockets of opportunity where homebuyers who gave up during the frenzied pandemic years are finding solutions.
I think my route of entry, per se, and looking for a house has changed. It's word of mouth. What can I try to get into before anybody else does?
For one broker in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, she says the number of offers per house is slowing.
A few weeks ago, we might have had 30, I believe one of them, we had 38 offers on one of our listings. I just had two houses over the weekend. We got in two offers.
One of the reasons why the housing market is cooling, higher mortgage rates.
Buyers may not be able to afford as much house as they could just a few months ago because of these higher mortgage rates.
A few weeks ago, buyers could lock in 30-year rates below 4%. Rates are now well above 5%.
Here's what you can do. Get loan pre-approval for a realistic view of what you can afford. Lock in as soon as you can. Some companies will even allow you to do this before you identify a property. And consider that banks may allow you to buy down interest. For would-be homebuyers, the message is, there's hope.
Claire also reminds potential buyers, be flexible. Consider going a little bit further out of your target area. And sometimes consider a slightly smaller home or a condo or a townhouse instead of a single family home. Sometimes if you just shake up your metrics a little bit, you have a little bit better luck.
As you said, there is hope.
Yes,
this might need
that's what we're clinging on to right now.
Yeah. Deirdre, thank you.
Sure.
Coming up here on Good Morning America, Ready to Roam, why Americans should expect a busy summer travel season.
Back now on GMA with a look at the upcoming summer travel season, my favorite season. Americans ready to put the pandemic behind them are hitting the roads and the skies and likely to find plenty of company. ABC's Phil Lipoff has more.
This morning, Americans getting ready to travel this summer in pre-pandemic numbers.
People are more confident because they've received their COVID vaccination. They believe the risk of contracting the virus is pretty much the same wherever they go.
For Memorial Day weekend, United Airlines expecting 2.6 million customers. That's up 50% from last year. Delta expecting 2.5 million, up 25% from last year. And the numbers will be even bigger for the 4th of July.
TSA already anticipating passenger volumes that will match or possibly exceed 2019 crowds. And with inflation already hitting Americans hard, the tough reality, travel won't be cheap either. The average domestic airfare this summer, $383. That's up 34% from 2019, about $100 per flight. And if you're looking to fly out of the country this morning, Customs and Border Protection says due to the crushing demand, there is a six-month delay for travelers' global entry applications. Hitting the road by car can be cheap, but still expensive. With gas prices already at record highs, the folks at Gas Buddy warn they could go even higher.
If Americans hit the road and really don't respond to the high price of gasoline, then we could see gas prices rise in a more meaningful way during the summer months.
None of that stopping this family from traveling to Tampa for vacation.
It's something that we just had to do. I mean, we've been penned up too long, so we wanted to get everybody together, you know, all the family and our kids, and take a trip together.
A sentiment shared by millions, despite COVID cases and hospitalizations climbing again nationwide. TSA beefing up its workforce in anticipation of what could be big crowds this summer, telling us they are quadrupling the number of workers ready to bolster screening at these airports like Newark that can become overcrowded during travel season. So happy travels, Eva.
Yeah, pack your patience. And we'll be right back with Pop News.
It's time now for Pop News. Will Gans is back this morning. I thought we were going to talk about your violin more. I didn't know what was going on. Will,
good morning
help us.
To you guys. Yeah, I got you. I got you. In honor of today's Pop News, won't you join me for a glass of Herbert Linger fruit wine? Because we begin with a hit show whose full name we can't say on TV. You know the one about the Rose family that ends in Creek?
Yeah.
Guys, that was a Moira Rose impression. You're all like,
what just happened? I was with you all the way.
Okay, I'm sure you were. The comedy starring Eugene and Dan Levy, Catherine O'Hara, and Annie Murphy ran for 6 seasons, but it could be coming to the big screen. Film and television's Moira Rose herself telling ET Canada that she'd love to do a movie if it was done the right way and hopes that it can happen. Catherine O'Hara saying that when the series wrapped, it was hard to let go of her character. I picked it up, obviously, saying she was, quote, much more interesting than I am. I've been praying about this for a long time. Jesus, take the wheel. All right. Imagine acting on stage in a hit Broadway musical with only 1 hour of rehearsal, but that's exactly what happened to Anthony Edwards stepping into Girl from the North Country for one night only. He happens to be married to the musical star, Mayor Winningham, who called to tell him that the show was in danger of being canceled when an actor came down with COVID and asked him to step into the role. Take a look.
I love this show. I love everything about it. And if this means like 800 people, 1,000 people are going to be able to see it tonight as opposed to cancel it, I'm in. Like, let's go.
Edwards, known for his role as Mark Green on ER, held a script at times for the role and downplayed his big moment, but his wife said she was impressed and proud of him.
Oh, wow. A lot happening
that
on Broadway.
That is impressive.
I have been asking to join Wicked as Glinda for a while, so.
There's time.
There's time.
If you need someone, start the campaign.
Exactly. Will, thank you so much. It's always good to have you. Stay tuned for This Week with George Stephanopoulos, continuing coverage of the shooting in Buffalo.